The Uniting Church has become the first major Christian denomination in Australia to endorse same-sex marriage. This is a huge step forward for LGBTIQ community of the church, as well as symbolically showing a religious organisation attempting to keep pace with modern discourse. We're joined now by biblical scholar and historian from University of Divinity, Robin Whittaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
And what does an endorsement mean practically from the church?
It means that from this coming Friday, the 21st of September, gay and lesbian couples will be able to have a church wedding with all the language and theology and tradition that comes with that, which is, you know, in the church building, but also the traditional language of invoking God's blessing. And symbolically, I think, for gay and lesbian people in the church and hopefully in the wider community, it is actually a really significant step in terms of saying, you are welcome, you're part of our community, and, you know, we recognise your relationships to be just as equal and valid.
Now, Robin, for those of us who might not be familiar with the Uniting Church, how does church differ from other Christian denominations?
The Uniting Church is a particularly Australian church. It formed just over 40 years ago from combining Methodist, Presbyterian and Congregationalist churches. So it's broadly Protestant. It's always been somewhat progressive, I guess you could say, in that it was one of the first churches to ordain women. It was one of the first churches in Australia since about 2003 to ordain openly gay clergy. So being sort of very conscious of social justice and equality has always been, you know, at the heart of the Uniting Church.
Are there ways that it's maybe conservative in other ways that that other Christian denominations aren't?
Sorry, are they conservative was the question?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, there's a difference between conservative theology and ideology and practice. So you could walk into a Uniting Church anywhere in Australia and some of them will look more like a very contemporary Hillsong-type space with bands and contemporary music, and others will seem very traditional with hymns and prayer books and that kind of stuff. So the practice can be very diverse, but I would say the Uniting Church's sort of core doctrines and beliefs are probably at the more progressive end rather than conservative end. For example, on gender, the Uniting Church has always been unequivocally firm that male and female are equal in the eyes of God, that there is no gender hierarchy, there's no barrier to women being involved at every level of the church.
Now, Robin, as the world sort of errs a little bit towards secularisation, or has been for a small period of time at least, mm-hmm. we're sort of not as certain about the effects that religion has on morality. So how significant do you think it is that a church's moral standing affects its parishioners' contemporary worldview?
That's a great question. I think the church is a really important voice in any kind of discussion about morality. And we've seen that in Australia in the last 18 months in particular, how there's almost a rise of the religious voice in the public sphere, sometimes positively, sometimes negatively, in my opinion. But I think what the church needs to, in a sense, reclaim is that it does have a moral voice. We've been a little bit stuck on issues of sexuality and drawing these sort of dividing lines. And my hope is we can move beyond that and actually talk more deeply about what a healthy relationship looks like, what a good expression of sexuality looks like, and not along the lines of are you gay or straight, but actually along the lines of how you treat one another, what are the qualities and the kind of moral standings we would expect to see in human relationships.
Well, so Robin, if Christianity is about love and, you know, the love between mm-hmm. you know, individuals, the love between a person and their community, you know, people and their God, how is it that this issue of same-sex marriage in particular became so divisive and, you know, Christian communities were so loud-voiced when in its discussion?
Yeah, the love got a little bit lost somewhere in there, I think, for some Christian communities. There's a couple of issues at stake here. One is how you read the Bible, which is the sacred text of Christianity, and if you read the Bible in a very literalistic way, there are verses in there that would appear to condemn homosexual behaviour. The Bible's a very ancient book. It doesn't actually say anything about orientation because that would just be a foreign category 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. So you get Christians who are very deeply concerned about upholding the Bible, and so there's a harder conversation to have there about how we read an ancient text that we encounter in translation in a very different time and place, and that always needs interpretation and reinterpretation. But I think at another level, this has become a bit of an identity politics line in the sand for some Christians, that what you think about sexuality marks the kind of Christian you are. And that to me is just really sad. We've seen it in generations past along gender. We saw it going, you know, 100 plus years ago around slavery. There are often these hot button issues that become the issues of the day that churches almost get a bit fixated on, and where you stand on it marks the kind of Christian you are.
We're speaking with biblical scholar and historian Robin Whittaker about the significance of the Uniting Church endorsing same-sex marriage. Now, as you said, you know, like a church is a community, and within that there can be, you know, several different ideologies. So was there pushback from significant voices within the Uniting Church?
Yeah, there really were, and it's fair to say that there still is. There's a vocal minority who are really not happy with this decision, and so the Uniting Church's leaders, I mean, there's very careful work being going on to maintain relationships and have those conversations, which are often difficult. And I should say that this change allows freedom for both individual clergy and individual Uniting Church congregations to determine their own policy. They have freedom not to offer same-gender marriage. So there'll be difficult conversations happening even within the one community, because, as we saw in the plebiscite, some of the statistics suggested that there's huge amounts of church people who actually voted yes, even where the leadership was inclined to vote no, and sometimes vice versa. So this is not an easy issue, and there's a lot of education being done in the Uniting Church, which I think is why it could have moved forward in the way it has, in the way that Anglicans and Catholics are not likely to in the short term. But those conversations will be ongoing, and there will be people, I'm sure, that will leave the church, but I think there will also be people who might come back to the church because of this.
Now, Robin, you cited earlier race and gender as being two previous issues that were hot button for identities of churches. I can imagine that in many of these Christian organisations, they've become less divisive as issues. Do you think that same-sex marriage might be an issue that sort of slowly begins to resolve in Christian churches?
Yes, I think it will, and I mean, I certainly hope it does. I had the experience of living in America for a number of years, quite recently, and there I saw in the Episcopal Church for the first time a model of what that could look like, where the minister, the priest in that congregation was gay. It was such a non-issue, and therefore the conversation can move on to what are the qualities of the individual, what gifts and skills do they bring, not their sexuality, which reduces somebody to one aspect of their being. And so I've seen there are other places around the world where the church has certainly been able to do this, and where we can move beyond this sort of fixation on this one aspect of our humanity.
And as we said, this endorsement from the Uniting Church is quite a landmark thing for here in Australia. So should we expect other religious organisations to follow? Are there that you're aware of other religious organisations considering this issue?
Other groups are considering it differently. I think I should say that the Quakers, which is a very small group within Australia, but the Quakers already offer same-gender marriage. So they're actually ahead of the curve compared to the mainstream denominations. I know there are some liberal Jewish congregations that are equally either already offering same-gender marriage or close to that. There are Anglicans having these conversations. So I think we will see some shift over time, but you know, historically churches are, you know, churches prize their tradition, they have long histories, and so change can actually be very slow at the same time.
Well, Robin, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Robin Whittaker there, Bible scholar, biblical scholar and historian, speaking about the Uniting Church's endorsement of same-sex marriage.